Hi, welcome back to Have Roots, We'll Travel. If this is your first time, welcome. My name is Lisa Elvin Stoltari, and I'm a genealogist and a passionate traveler. With this channel, I've intended to do travel and history travel, location genealogy, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Right now, we're really focusing on les filles du roi, the king's daughters, and kind of trying to give them each their own time in the sun. I am a daughter of les filles du roi as well, and but I'm including all of them. Because I think all of them are superb and need a special recognition. As many of you know, I have a website, I have a Twitter handle, I have, you know, a Facebook account, all of the above. Please like this video and subscribe if this is something that you're interested in. I generally post once a week, but I am going to be starting very shortly to twice a week, depending on the amount of volume that I can produce to have enough content. And with that being said, let's get started and see who we are featuring this week. But before we announce who we're featuring, let's discuss Les Filles du Roi. For those of you regular viewers, you know that I have produced a video called Les Filles du Roi, the Program 2.0, in which I describe the program that was started in 1663 by the intendant Jean Talon. I go into the ins and outs of how the girls were recruited, how they came across, all that good stuff. It really is worthwhile if this is something that you really want to know about in terms of your particular ancestor. And generally, when you have one filles du roi, you have many. You know, it may behoove you to get a little bit more background and find out what your ancestor really went through. So with that being said, let's announce who is our filles du roi of the week. Well, I'm proud to say that she is actually my 9 times great-grandmother, Marguerite Eve. And I find it ironic that, but for the L, it would be Elvin, which is my last name, but obviously no connection that I know of. She also is the great-grandmother of one of my dear school friends, and also the grandmother of a daughter of my best friend. So, I mean, Margaret's influence has spread. I have not yet received a request from a reviewer, but I hope one of you, that this is your great-grandmother. So let's get started and get to know Marguerite. So Marguerite was born in 1651 in the commune or township in the Somme department of Saint-Fruzien, which is next to Amiens, which is kind of like a suburb in Picardy, France. Her parents were François Evin and Louise Chaubellard. Now, let's talk a little bit about Saint-Fruzien. I put a little picture of it there, just the entryway. And then on the upper right, we have just the picturesque, little village that it is. The commune's name is derived from the Saint-Fruzien from the 3rd century, who is said to have been buried in the area, along with Saints Gentien and Victorieuse. Now, the church no longer exists and was finally destroyed in the 18th century. According to the history from that period, there was actually a monastery built in the 3rd century and destroyed and rebuilt in 1859 and rebuilt in 880, destroyed in 925, and then rebuilt two centuries later in the 12th century. François I and Henri IV were invited to services here, so I'm presuming it was quite the thing. Now, I want to show you on the map, on the upper right, you can kind of see how north it is, this little red dot, and then I just wanted to show you that it really is close to Amiens, so Saint-Fruzien is right here on the bottom left here, and then on the top we have Amiens, and that gives you an idea of the proximity of it to a larger city. So this is where Marguerite came from. So upon her father's death, she embarked on the filles du roi program and brought with her £300. of goods. She traveled on La Nouvelle France and arrived in Quebec City on July 31st, 1670. She would travel with other filles du roi that we've studied, including Elizabeth Agnes Lefebvre, number 2, and Elizabeth Sully, number 3, Françoise Michel, which was number 44. So we're starting to see a lot. Not in 1670 and 1671 were probably the apex of the filles du roi. So you're going to see a lot of ladies come during this period. So the groom that Marguerite selects, his name is Pierre Richard, and he was born in 1646 in the town of Écueil in Saint-Ange. His parents were Jacques Richard and Antoinette Merlet, and I've drawn a map. I've given you the map. I haven't drawn it, but I've drawn a circle to give you an idea of whereabouts in France it is. The Église Saint-Vivienne d'Écueil is, it dates from the 12th century, with many facets being completed. It continued until the 15th century to kind of be built. And it's, there's also an amazing, and so I've given you the outer part of the church, and then on the upper left, and then in the bottom right, is the inside. Just amazing. Have a look at that. And then on the upper right is the castle called Le Château de Polignac, which I'm sure is just, you know, when you think of France, you think of castles. And this, when I saw this picture, I was like, wow. So it dates from from that period as well. It's a very, very fascinating place. So on the 24th of September, 1670, just about 6 weeks or so after she arrived, Pierre and Marguerite were married at Château Richer. We actually have two versions because I guess in Château Richer, they actually typed up. So I wanted to give you both versions. They typed up and transcribed at a later date, obviously, the marriage contract. But that there on your left, or your right, I'm sorry, is the actual marriage contract, which I love finding, you know, because it really tells you, you know, their parents and all of that good stuff. So that is where they were married. So where did they end up? So Pierre and Marguerite would settle in Neuville, which, as many of you know, is one of those areas where so many filles du roi settled. And let's just review a little bit about Neuville. Is a village on the north shore of the St. Lawrence River. It's just west of Quebec City. And it was founded in 1684 and remains really one of the most picturesque versions of Quebec. I did a travel series on the Chemin du Roi, and Neuville was very prominent on there. I have the videos of that as well if you want to have a look at Neuville now. In 1653, the area was granted as a seigneurie by Jean de Lauzon to Jean Bourdon de Saint-Jean for his son, Jean-François Bourdon de Domburg, who was an engineer, a surveyor, a cartographer, just an attorney general to the sovereign. And in 1680, the Domburg seigneurie was acquired by Nicolas Dupont de Neuville. Thereafter, the seigneurie was known as Neuville. I give you that history because remember, Domburg, you will see that in some places, Domburg being the name before it became Neuville. Now, by 1679, we needed to get a church there. So the St. François de Sade parish was formed, and it became a civil parish in 1684. The place was also known as Pointe aux Trembles, or Pointe aux Trembles, in reference to the point on which the church was built, which was once covered with aspen and birch. And so, not to be confused with Pointe aux Trembles in Montreal, but when you see Pointe aux Trembles, make sure you know, sometimes the church would be known as that. So don't be confused about Pointe aux Trembles. There are two Pointe aux Trembles. Obviously, one is much better known, which is the one in Montreal. This, however, is the church. The parish was known as that. So I also want to point out to you that the 1681 census, I love getting those notes. So we have Pierre Richard, who was 35, and Marguerite Eve, this is how they spelled it, sa femme, 30, 30 years old, enfant, children, Louis, 12, Alexis, 8, Anne, 7, Pierre, 5, passepartout. So this is the amount of children that are living at this point in 1681. They say they have 12 bêtes à cornes, which are three goats, and 16 enfants valants. That's quite a bit. That's quite a bit. So 16 would be about 12 to 15 acres. Okay, so he's by 1681, he's doing pretty well. So Alexis, who's a male, married Claude, who's a female, dit Claudine Langlois, and had nine children, seven of whom reached adulthood. Marianne married Jean-François Bertrand and had nine children. Pierre married Marguerite Paget and had 11 children, six of whom reached adulthood. François would marry Marie-Angélique Bertrand. In case you noticed, Marianne and François married siblings. And they had 12 children, seven of whom reached adulthood. Louis married Marie-Thérèse Perrette Fournel and had four children, three of whom reached adulthood. Marie unfortunately died in infancy. Jacques married Marie-Charlotte Grenot and had 14 children, nine of whom reached adulthood. Jean died at birth. Marie-Marguerite married Jacques Fournel, if you'll notice, that was another sibling, and had 14 children, eight of whom reached adulthood. And their final child, Jean-Baptiste, died in infancy. Pierre would pass away on the 16th of May, 1709. That is his burial record, and he is buried at the Novide Cemetery at the age of 66. At his death, he and Marguerite would have been married 39 years. So this is a couple who endured. Marguerite would live another 9 years, dying at the age of 72, and that is her burial record. And she is also buried at the Novide Cemetery. Now you can imagine they do have an association of Les Familles Richard with that many descendants. And I would hardly recommend that you, go to this website. It looks like they're currently doing a voyage retour aux sources en France. I don't know if that's still active, but I took a snapshot of this website, May 2022. So that's, as I'm recording this, it's now May. So, I definitely heartily recommend that you explore this resource. Sometimes the stories that I tell about Les Filles du Roi are replete with tragedy and remarriages and all kinds of, you know, intrigue. And sometimes they just endure. And this is really the story of Marguerite Evin and her husband, Père Richard. They simply got together, built land, and built a family, and, you know, lived the rest of their lives together, and died at a respectable, for that era, lived a good long life. And so sometimes it's just how much time they put in, and certainly Noville would have been better for their participation and their efforts. So with that, I leave you, and I thank you for watching, and we will see you on video, can you believe it, number 50 next time.